to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Breakfast Bite on this Monday morning, the 30th of November 2020, the final day before we head in towards the festive season in December. Tell you what, very festive around the Australian cricket team at the moment, securing their second win in a row against the Indians. They were fantastic yesterday, closing out the victory by 51 runs.
Final ball of the match, just bunted down the ground by Chahal. There it is. A 51-run win to Australia. They take out the match. They take out the series. Convincing performance by the home side.
And wasn't it great to see a few crowds back at the races over the weekend throughout Victoria? Highlighted yesterday, of course, by the Jericho Cup. Count Zero winning at $26. Thank you very much.
And it's still Count Zero for Luke Stumpy Williams. This would be the biggest win of his career. He's been riding for 30 years. He's four lengths in front. Second placing is Dan Buller, then Will John. But Count Zero, he's going to do it. It will be one hell of a wild party, I tell you. He's won the consolation. Now he's won the Hames Pates Jericho Cup. Count Zero, you beauty, in a like a Glen Boss celebration, Stumpy.
Extraordinary performance yesterday by Luke Williams. We'll hear from him and trainer Simon Wild next, plus the results from the Japan Cup as well.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Let's start with the cricket from yesterday. And Australia, too good again. 4 for 389, the Aussies made, on the back of another century from Steve Smith off 62 deliveries again. He was dismissed for 104 from 64 balls. David Warner and Aaron Finch got things off to a good start with 83 and 60 respectively. Manus Labuschagne made 70, and then Glenn Maxwell came in at the end and had a bit of fun. 63 from 29 deliveries, including four fours and four sixes, to post a massive total for the Australians. 4 for 389 they made, bettering their target from the other day. So a wonderful performance by the Aussies with the bat, and they were able to back it up with the ball as well, restricting India to 9 for 338 from their 50 overs. The best of the batsmen for India was Virat Kohli. He made 89 from 87 before Josh Hazlewood snared him. A couple of fantastic catches last night. Smith took a pearler, as did Moses on Reeks. We'll pop them on Twitter if we haven't already and let you check them out as well. So great performance by the Australians. They secure the series. Still one game to go, of course, in Canberra on Wednesday, but two games at the SCG for two wins. The Aussies will be very happy with their start to the summer. Let's have a listen from the man of the moment, Steve Smith. He said he found his hands in isolation a couple of days ago. Well, that certainly came true over the last 3 days with a couple of centuries for the former Australian skipper.
Last innings I gave, you know, probably could have been out, caught it long on, you know, close LBW. I didn't give any chances today. And yeah, I was just felt good from sort of ball one, able to get myself in and then go hard. Obviously, it was another great foundation set by Finchie and Davey, and just enabled myself and Maxi and, to go hard at the back end.
Has there been a conscious decision to be more aggressive? But I guess in saying that, all you're doing is extending the strokes that provide that wonderful foundation for your batting. So there's no sort of ugly slogging or anything, but has there been a more positive mindset that you've taken out there?
Well, I think it's just summing up the conditions and what's in front of you. Like I said, the last two games, the boys have got us off to terrific starts, and you know, we know against India they're a quality batting lineup, so we're going to have to score big totals. And it was just about just taking the game on, and yeah, fortunately the last couple of games it's come off and helped get us some nice totals.
Well, anything to do with the extra training pre-season, Smudge? The extra guns that are starting to bulge out there? You got a bit of extra strength? You're starting to whack the ball around?
Cheers, Warnie. I tried to whack the ball a bit too hard a couple of weeks ago in the IPL, so I've started to try and hit the ball with a bit more finesse, I'd say, which is probably working better for me. I'm not quite the slogger I want to be, so trying to hit the ball too hard a couple of weeks ago and now just playing nice cricket shots, I think.
Steve Smith there speaking last night after the emphatic victory over India to make it 2 from 2 to start the Australian summer. More from Aaron Finch and Virat Kohli a little later on in the show. Plus, we'll get some other cricket results as well from around the world, with South Africa and England competing at the moment over in South Africa in their second T20 international. Let's head to the racing world now, where, as you heard yesterday, extraordinary performance in the Jericho Cup. Count Zero winning for Luke Williams on board. He was a very happy man after the win. Let's have a listen to what he had to say to racing.com.
Well, I watched his replays and had a word to Simon, so I went into the race pretty confident. I walked the track this morning and I knew there were a couple of spots where I could seriously make ground without doing anything, if I could get to them, of course, which I did go up the hill the second time, and he just rolled up there, easy making ground, beautiful. Coming down to like the final turn, I think it was McCarthy tried to drive me onto the inside. I'm like, no, piss off, we've got to stay out here because, like, it's better ground. Anyway, we stayed out there for a bit longer and made the ground we needed to, and yeah, got the job done, so it was awesome.
You said it probably ranks as your career highlight. How long have you been riding for?
Oh, shit, bloody, I suppose a lot of years, bro. Like, I think nearly 30.
And what's the feeling like coming back to SCAR when you know you've won a $300,000 race, but a race that has so much significance behind it?
Oh, it makes me probably want to get a bit more dedicated, lose some weight and try and win another proper big one. So, yeah. No, it was good. It's a great feeling, man. Great feeling.
Great to see you in the winner's stall. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Hopefully, this is a horse that you can stick with and he can be back next year and you can chase back-to-back.
Well, hopefully, I'll ride him over the jumps too, so that's what I'm looking forward to.
Well done, mate.
Take care. Thank you.
How good was that? Luke Williams, the jockey yesterday on Count Zero for Simon Wild, winning at $26. Dembula in second at $3.20, and Will John in third, $2, tab.com.au. What a fantastic interview that was, and the raw emotion coming through for Luke Williams at Warrnambool yesterday. Let's head to the Japan Cup now, a long way from Warrnambool over there in Japan, and Armand Eye was extraordinary. We'll pop this up on Twitter as well in case you haven't seen it as of yet. The $2.70 favourite storming home to win over the top of rivals Contrail and Daring Tact. So $2.70 it paid at tab.com.au. Let's hear the closing stages.
Here comes Armand Eye, Armand Eye and Contrail. Armand Eye in a blaze of glory. She's starting to shorten stride. She's in front. Good on you, girl. Sayonara in your last race. Armand Eye wins.
What a finish to an amazing career and an amazing, amazing Japan Cup as well, especially with the pace that was set early on. Have a look at that on Twitter when we chuck it out a little later on after 6 a.m. this morning. Extraordinary stuff. Let's now head to Formula One. Now, I wouldn't normally head to Formula One this early in the morning. Something we will pop out on our socials is this crash overnight in the Bahrain Grand Prix. Romain Grosjean, his car has literally become a fireball after exiting the track. He went into a barrier and it exploded on impact. There was petrol all over the place and it ignited. How he walked away from this, I have no idea. Have a listen to how shaken the commentators were after replaying the incident.
As you say, start behind the pack, and every time I see that, it just looks more and more horrific. Tears, I'm sure, in the Haas garage from...
So Max Verstappen has just spoken. He got out of his car and was in pit lane about 15 minutes ago. Let's have a listen to what he had to say after witnessing that horrific crash.
In a reasonable fast time. Luckily also the safety of F1 car has improved a lot over the years, and with the halo as well. So, yeah, very happy that he's, let's say, fine.
How tough was it to reset and then you went and smashed it, didn't you?
It's never nice, but, you know, you have to focus ahead. Luckily, also, we knew, you know, he jumped out and he could walk himself. So that, of course, helps. But it's never a nice feeling. But, you know, the race goes on and, yeah, you have to try to make the best out of it.
How did you kind of settle into the rhythm after that? It was a really strong race. So overall, Red Bulls looked like they're great pace against Merck.
Yeah, we had good pace, but not good enough. I mean, they were just a bit faster than us every lap. Even though I think we could have done a better job with strategy, we could have put a bit more pressure on them. We had the tyres to do so, and we didn't take advantage of it. We let them pit earlier than us in the beginning, so that's where you lose 1.5-2 seconds. Then I had to close that up with the hard tyres, because I think the hard tyre was a better tyre. But yeah, you are just on the back foot, then we had a slow stop, and the last stop yeah, was a bit late into the race, of course, because of the red flag and safety car. But overall, you know, second is where we, of course, belong, I think, today. But I would have liked to see a bit more pressure on Mercedes. You know, we could have done it. We had the tyres to do so.
Max Verstappen speaking there. Even the drivers all around, Romain Grosjean clearly shaken still after the race. Lewis Hamilton took another victory, just racking up the wins as he does every week on the Formula One Tour. And Alexander Albon, the teammate of Max Verstappen for Red Bull Racing, finishing in third place. So another podium finish for the Brit, and a good, a very good finish for him. Lando Norris and Carlos Sainz for McLaren finishing in fourth and fifth respectively. So another win by Lewis Hamilton, but that will be overshadowed, of course, by that amazing scene of Romain Grosjean's car literally exploding into a fireball. Thank goodness he walked away from that. A lot of F1 experts saying he would have been dead 10 years ago. So credit to the technology and how far it has come. Time for a break at 13 to 6 on your Monday morning. On the other side of this, we'll catch up with all the overseas sport, cricket from South Africa, golf from the European Tour in South Africa as well, plus Premier League from overnight as Manchester United stole all 3 points very late at Southampton.
This is The Breakfast Bite.
Alex Telles with the delivery. Van der Beek was the target. McCarthy got there. Bruno Fernandes through a crowd of players. That is brilliant from Cavani. Edison Cavani.
Yeah, and they went one better as well. Edison Cavani with a double and the second goal, winning their match for Manchester United in the last couple of minutes against Southampton. They came back from 2-0 down to win 3-2 overnight. In the other result that has just finished, literally moments ago, nil all between Chelsea and Tottenham. And then Arsenal and Wolves will play a little later on this morning. They kick off in about 15 minutes time. So Tottenham still maintain top spot on the table, but Liverpool now even with them on points, only separated by goal difference there. So the top six or seven in the Premier League, Tottenham, Liverpool, Chelsea and Leicester are the top four. Southampton in fifth, Everton sixth, Manchester United in seventh. Man City still down in eighth place. Arsenal in 14th. It is a funny looking ladder at the moment, but a few of the big guns starting to fire up the top there, as you can see. Let's head to the European Tour Golf from overnight, which is actually stopping off in South Africa at the moment. And it was a native, Christian Bezuidenhout, with the win.
Yes, for par, for Christian Bezuidenhout. He's the only winner on home soil. He is your 2020 Alfred Dunhill champion.
Yeah, beautiful scenery there for Bezuidenhout. And let's have a listen to what the South African had to say after securing victory in his home country.
No, it's incredible. I mean, this tournament just has been close to my heart since I've played this for the first time. And it's always been a tournament that I wanted to win. And, yeah, just pulled it off today is special, really, really special for me.
It was a very difficult day, very up and down day. You were there, then you dropped a couple, they dropped a couple, and it was...
Yeah, I mean, it was a two and a half club win today. It swelled a lot today. I mean, much double bogey on seven. Actually, he did a decent shot. He just drifted right where the wind and it came up short. But yeah, I'm just proud of myself to have stuck in there and to have pulled it off now and then.
And of course, it's your first win on home soil. And you know, you seem to be very structured. You seem to have a plan that you stuck to it.
Yeah, actually, funny enough, I played with Louis and Charles in the practice round at Augusta, and Louis actually said that you can't play this course the way that you played it with the previous grass on it, and I actually never thought of it that way, and I just came in here with a different frame of mind, and I just played it like it's playing now. It's
Poseidon Hut finishing at 14 under the card there, ahead of four players at 10 under, 3 under in his final round. So great effort there by the native South African. No PGA Tour event this weekend, but they do head to the Albany Golf Club for the Hero World Challenge a little later on this week. So we'll bring you those updates as they roll in. In case you're just waking up, a couple of the scores from the last 24 hours. Australia too good over India in the second one-day international. Steve Smith smashing another century, 4 for 389. India falling short, 9 for 338. In the Japan Cup last night, Armand Eye, extraordinary finish over the 2,400 metres, storming over the top of Contrail and Daring Tack to win, $2.70, tab.com.au. And Count Zero was the story of the day yesterday in the Jericho Cup. Luke Williams, fantastic interview. In case you missed it before, have a listen on the podcast. It was great to hear his raw emotion after the win in the Jericho Cup. Let's stick there and hear from the trainer now, Simon Wild, after the win.
In this race's short history, it's you know, it's been a bit of an aim of ours after we were fortunate enough to win the Grand Annual to win this race. I love the concept, as I said before. I think it's a fantastic race. It's got real meaning to it. You know, it's not, like I said, it's not a pop-up race or money grab like some of the other ones are. I think it's got, you know, real depth and meaning and real honour to win the race.
Simon Wild speaking there yesterday. There was some other international cricket happening yesterday too, with late last night England taking on South Africa. This is over in South Africa. It was a tight finish in the end, but the English getting the job done. South Africa batting first, made 6 for 146 in their T20 international. No one really took the game by the scruff of the neck. Quinny de Kock was the best at the top of the order. He made 30 from 18 deliveries, and then Linda later on made 29 from 20 to get their total to 146. The best of the bowlers was Abdul Rashid. He took 2 for 23, single wickets to Archer, Curran and Jordan. And then in reply, England stuttering really until Dawid Malan was able to make 55 from 40 deliveries at number 3. Bairstow was out for 3, Stokes out for 16, Morgan made 26, not out the captain, and Curran made 1 after at the top of the order. Butler and Roy made 22 and 14 respectively. They got the total with just one ball to spare, 6 for 147. Dawid Malan named the man of the match. Let's hear from the English captain after the win.
And obviously, we all know what we're building up to. There's a World Cup on the horizon. Just how important are games like this and the one on Friday as well?
I think games like this, you learn more about players. Certainly, there's no pressure around as regards to a crowd, but there's a pressure to perform in different aspects. I think certainly within our team, acknowledging that when you make that final 11, there's a huge level of expectation on your shoulders to be able to deliver. And guys managed to do that today, and I think collectively as a group on paper we look really strong, but we do need to convert that on paper into performance, and it's nice to be 2-0 up.
As you say, 2-0 up, one more game to go. Does anything change for the next game, or is it just business as usual?
I think the mentality of trying to win the game is going to be our priority. We've talked about having this series where we have the luxury of having a full strength squad, which is great, but we need to utilise guys in their own positions to get used to the roles that they might come back into, potentially in India or pre-World Cup. So our objective is going to be to put out our strongest side that we feel is the best to win the game.
So good win there for England yesterday over South Africa in the second T20 international last night. Let's now head back on home soil with Aaron Finch. Let's hear what the Australian captain had to say after securing their series against India 2-0 before we head to Manuka Oval for the third and final ODI on Wednesday.
Anytime you're getting up in that high 300s, it's pretty special. And like Smudge said, there hasn't been any extra talk or any extra game plan that's gone into it. It's just been a pretty solid foundation, but yeah, very, very pleased to wrap it up in two games and win the series.
Don't want to take the gloss too much off the win, but can you give us an update on David Warner?
No idea yet, mate. I haven't been outside yet. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it looked like a pretty nasty groin strain. I suspect that he's probably not going to be available for Wednesday. Have you had any time to sort of start to think forward as to what the lineup might be?
Oh, we've got to reshuffle it around. I don't think he'll be available, so we'll have to wait and see. I'll get some confirmation once I get inside, and you guys will probably find out not long after I do.
And your own form tonight, Finchie, looked pretty good again. Looked like a good touch right from the word go.
Yeah, a bit quicker would have been nice, but I think summing it up and probably laying that foundation for the guys towards the middle and back end to come in and play some really free cricket is quite crucial. So it's a bit of a trade-off. Do you want to go a bit harder and risk going one down early or be a bit more conservative? But the way Davey played up front, it was unbelievable. He hit the middle of the bat from ball one. He's moving so beautifully. And then Smithy played out of his skin twice in a row. They've been two of the all-timers, them not.